Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Monday, it is Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, a federal holiday. If you have the day off, hope you have some good R&R. And I know many people will be tuned in to what's happening in Washington, not only today, but later in the week with the March for Life coming up on Friday. Today is Inauguration Day, a very big day in the United States of America. Regardless of how one has voted, it's a very important day to recognize this beautiful system that our founding fathers put into place. And we'll see that taking place this afternoon, actually at noon, when Donald Trump is sworn in as the 47th president of the U.S. And Dr. Matthew Bunsen, of course, from EWTN, he's an expert on church history, but also on politics and all things Catholic related to that. He'll join us a little bit later on the program to get his take on how he thinks his administration will be working with the Catholics here in the U.S. of A. So we will talk with him. But first, out of the gate, at about 15 minutes past the hour, after the news and the weather on a Monday morning here at EWTN, checking in with my good friend Kelly Wahlquist from Women in the New Evangelization, WINE, CatholicVineyard.com. It's a beautiful ministry that brings together so many different women's activities and apostolates to celebrate women in the church. And she has a number of beautiful conferences coming up. So you should be able to hit one of them because there's at least three or four, and I think I'm doing one for her in August as well. So there's quite a few coming up, especially in the late winter and early spring. So we'll give you the rundown on that. And then Kelly and I are also doing, as we always do, our women's pilgrimage to Italy. It will be a Jubilee pilgrimage for women that's coming up in early October, right before we do our La Dolce Fide couples trip in mid to late October. So much to discuss with Kelly, especially issues on women's hearts and minds. And then, as I mentioned, our friend Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN. And because it's a Monday, wrapping up a Monday, as we always do, with the Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. And, of course, Gail Buckley from Catholic Scripture Study International. Weather-wise, baby, it's cold outside. That's the understatement, especially depending on where you are. The rest of the country, I would say, outside of California, Florida, maybe parts of the South and Texas. But you know what? Even Texas is getting some different weather. So here's what the National Weather Service is telling us this morning on a Monday. Dangerously cold weather for much of the country. Rare winter storm for the south and continued fire weather concerns, unfortunately, for Southern California. National Weather Service saying Arctic air will be filtering into the south and east through early this week as a cold air moves across the south. A rare winter storm is forecast to develop from the Lone Star State of Texas, Gulf Coast states into the southeast through early this week. Several new daily record low temps are expected, including new record low maximum temperatures. And for Southern California, fire weather concerns this week as well. It is a Monday morning. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN. And don't forget the big March for Life, gavel-to-gavel coverage. As Doug Keck explained on Friday, our president and chief operating officer, EWTN.com, for all the information and the scheduling. Right now, we need to get to the news on a Monday, January 20th. Let's see what's happening. Remember, this program brought to you by our friends at House of Joppa. HouseofJoppa.com is the website. Pope Francis sending a message for the inauguration of Donald J. Trump as the 47th U.S. president, offering divine blessings upon the beloved American people, President Trump and his family, and praying that the Lord will help guide efforts toward peace. Vatican News telling us the Pope began the message by stating that on the occasion of your inauguration as the 47th president of the United States of America, I offer cordial greetings and the assurance of my prayers that Almighty God will grant you wisdom, strength, and protection in the exercise of your high duties. Inspired, he said, by your nation's ideals of being a land of opportunity and welcome for all, it is my hope that under your leadership, the Pope said, that the American people will prosper and always strive to build a more just society where there is no room for hatred, discrimination, or exclusion. Donald Trump, meanwhile, as we mentioned, will be sworn in today as the 47th president of the United States. The day began with a church service going on right now at St. John's in Washington, D.C., before President Biden welcomes Donald Trump for tea at the White House. Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance will then head to the Capitol for the inauguration, which is set to be held inside because of the brutally cold temps. Trump is set to be sworn in at around 11:45 a.m. Eastern before giving remarks. And once he takes the oath of office, he officially becomes the second American president to serve two non-consecutive terms. Meanwhile, President-elect Trump on Sunday rallied ahead of his inauguration today.
Our new administration will inherit disasters at home and abroad, an economy plagued by inflation and high interest rates, a catastrophic border crisis. Nobody can believe they let people in.
Trump rallying supporters on stage at the Capital One Arena in downtown D.C. a day before he takes the oath of office today. Trump saying people will see a lot of executive orders that will make them extremely happy, adding the country has to be set on a proper course, also confirming his first trip outside of Washington as president will be to the West Coast in Los Angeles at the end of the week to view wildfire damage. And Trump's incoming national security advisor crediting Donald Trump with securing the ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas. Appearing on CNN's State of the Union, Mike Waltz claiming the pressure Trump put on the Palestinian militant group is what caused them to agree to a ceasefire and hostage deal.
Had President Trump not been elected, this deal was stuck. It was dead in the water.
Waltz went on to say he spoke with families of American hostages held in Gaza and assured them the U.S. was working to ensure the ceasefire holds. The first Israeli hostages released over the weekend in exchange for almost 100 Palestinians detained by Israel. House Speaker Mike Johnson is hopeful that the ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas will hold. However, Johnson told NBC's Meet the Press yesterday the U.S. is ready to stand behind Israel in the event Hamas breaks that agreement. And Scott Carr tells us President-elect Trump may begin mass deportations in the first hours of his presidency today.
Trump's soon-to-be appointed border czar Tom Holman tells Fox News deportation flights could start taking off during his first week in office.
I mean, we have got over 700,000 illegal aliens in the United States with final orders of removal.
The Wall Street Journal reports the incoming administration intends to kick off a large-scale immigration raid the day after Trump takes office. In particular, it's expected to target the city of Chicago with help from as many as 200 immigration and customs enforcement officers.
The Senate voting tonight, meanwhile, to pass the Laken-Riley Act. The legislation includes an amendment from Senator John Cornyn of Texas, adding assault of a law enforcement officer to the list of offenses by an illegal immigrant that triggers mandatory detention.
There's no question that these folks should be detained and removed before they can commit other crimes.
If passed by the Senate, it moves to the House. In the first vote, it passed with the support of 48 Democrats. The Laken-Riley Act is named after a Georgia nursing school student who was murdered last year by an illegal immigrant. And President-elect Trump will tour the recent wildfire damage areas of Los Angeles County on Friday, as we mentioned earlier. This will likely be his first official trip during his second term as president, which, of course, starts later today. Last week, Governor Gavin Newsom invited Trump to visit the burned areas. Trump has said his administration will be getting what he calls some of the best builders in the world to fix the damaged and destroyed parts of Los Angeles. And speaking of California and the fires, more damaging, powerful Santa Ana winds are heading for Southern California. Here's fire expert Sam DiGiovanna, who says the risk of a new wildfire starting is critical.
Even if we didn't have winds, I would say there's a threat because it can be a topography-driven fire. We've got the dry brush, but we know a fire runs faster uphill than a flat surface.
A red flag warning taking effect at 10 o'clock this morning local time and will be placed in place through 10 o'clock Tuesday night. It will impact parts of Los Angeles, Ventura, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties. And Daniel Martindale tells us a man and a woman from Oregon are behind bars on suspicion of trying to enter the Palisades Fire evacuation zone in a fake fire truck.
Police say the suspects who were arrested on Saturday were wearing protective gear firefighters typically wear, along with CAL FIRE shirts. They were also carrying helmets and radios. They claimed to be from the Roaring River Fire Department in Oregon, which is what the fire truck also said. Police investigated and found out that is not a legitimate agency and that the truck was bought at an auction. The suspects were then arrested and the fire truck was impounded. Police say the suspects also admitted to being in the evacuation zone on Friday.
And as we mentioned at the top of the hour, America Today reflecting on the legacy of civil rights icon Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. While Martin Luther King Day was created back in 1983 after the signing of legislation by then-President Ronald Reagan, the movement to honor Dr. King's birthday actually began 15 years earlier, days after his assassination in 1968. The first Martin Luther King holiday went into effect on January 20th in 1986. Brian Shook tells us the Supreme Court will be deciding whether elementary schools can actually require reading that includes LGBTQ themes.
A lawsuit over a Maryland school district's policy landed before the Supreme Court. A group of religious parents sued Montgomery County Schools, arguing it violated their First Amendment religious rights. The school board approved a group of LGBTQ inclusive books as part of its English curriculum in 2022. Parents were allowed to opt out initially, but then reverted to teachers' discretion.
TikTok is back online in the U.S. The app was dark for about 16 hours from Saturday evening to Sunday morning. When users reopened the app, a message popped up thanking users for their patience and praising Donald Trump for getting the app back online. In a statement, the company said Trump assured its leadership they would face no penalties for continuing to provide Americans access to the app. The statement also said the company will work with the Trump administration to preserve access to TikTok in the U.S. Trump has said he'll likely extend the deadline today for Chinese-owned TikTok to sell to a U.S. company or face a ban. Larry Kosky tells us the New York area is bracing for a major winter storm and an icy blast to start the week.
Dig out and bundle up. Words to live by in the New York area for the next few days, with a winter storm followed by several days of frigid temperatures. The forecast calls for the heaviest snowfall in about 3 years, 3 to 5 inches in Manhattan, even more north and west of the city. And after the snow stops comes the deep freeze, with temperatures not getting out of the 20s during the day for most of the week. Highs are not expected to get back above freezing until Friday.
Meanwhile, cold weather is expanding through the central part of the country this week, with areas such as the Dakotas and Minnesota also seeing sub-zero temperatures and record lows that could be set through Wednesday. Throughout much of the rest of the country, temperatures could reach 15 to 25 degrees below historical averages. And finally, in our news segment, at almost 13 minutes past the hour on a Monday morning, Inauguration Day and a federal holiday, Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, Tammy Trujillo tells us the TSA says it intercepted nearly 6,700 firearms at airport security checkpoints in 2024.
About 94% of those firearms were loaded. The total is down slightly from 2023, when a record-setting number of guns was stopped from being brought on commercial flights. The airports that had the most firearms discovered include Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, Dallas-Fort Worth International, Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport, and Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport.
It is a Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Coming up, we're going to talk wine, as in women in the new evangelization, some beautiful conferences, and for the ladies, if you want to join us on an incredible pilgrimage, we have one coming up in October. We will fill you in, coming up right after the break. Stay tuned.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Italy aficionado Teresa Tamio's newest book is coming soon to the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Teresa Tamio provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how to best soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Shrines and Wonders from Catholic Connections, Teresa Tamio, will be found soon at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
I can remember a couple of years ago when Kelly Walquist and I were on our wine, one of our wine pilgrimages. We have this really cool sign that you put in front of the bus. And, you know, the name, wine, we have Wine and Shrine. That's what our tours are called. And everybody that would walk by the bus would say, well, that is such a cool name for a trip. And we would stop them and say, well, wine is actually an acronym for Women in the New Evangelization. The website is CatholicVineyard.com. Check it out. Author, speaker, and founderess of Wine, Kelly Walquist, is with us this morning. Happy New Year, Kel. How are you?
Happy New Year. I am great. And I love that we're talking about Italy, because now you've got Dean Martin going through my head with Baby, It's Cold Outside. As I sit here at 12 below zero in lovely Minnesota. It looks like it's about 82 degrees out, though. It's beautiful. It's sunny.
Yeah, I know. It's sunny here in the Detroit area. We're like rocking with the warm temps. We're five above. Woohoo!
Ooh, oh, I should get my bathing suit head on over to your house.
We'll open the pool early for you. Hey, great to have you on. It's been a while. We've both been so busy with the holidays and everything. And, of course, I was traveling and you were traveling. But I'm so excited for Wine, our wonderful ministry, Women in the New Evangelization, because you have a number of different opportunities in the next couple of months for women to take part in one of the many conferences. So do tell, my dear.
Oh, thank you so much. And as you know, but probably listeners don't know, we just turned 10 years old.
Woo!
December 12th. What a great thing. I can't believe it. 10 years. It's just absolutely amazing. And December 12th, you know, we put all our paperwork in to become a nonprofit in February, 11 years ago or whatever it was. And by the grace of God, on December 12th, Our Lady of Guadalupe, we became an official nonprofit. Yeah. You can't make that up, right? Patroness of what? Mm-hmm. The New Evangelization? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Good sign, Jesus. Thank you. Yeah, so we've grown a lot in 10 years. And one of the things we have is we do have events, as you spoke of, and we have some conferences coming up. We have one retreat coming up right around the corner. So we have a walk in her sandals retreat where we experience Christ's passion, death, resurrection, and the coming of the Spirit, the way in which we are created to as women. And that's going to be in Aberdeen, South Dakota on February 8th. And then we are having our 10th conference here in Minnesota in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And I love this. We're reflecting back and like, what have we done in 10 years? You know, we try to come up with a clever title for our conference. And I said, let's just call it what we're doing. And that's laboring joyfully, a decade in the vineyard. So we're going to play off the word decade a little bit there with the Blessed Mother. And that's March 1st, and that'll be spectacular. And then coming up in one of our, I know you and I both love the podcast of Bishop Pagiano. I think it's a, let me be frank. I can't remember, I think yeah. Something, but let me be frank. I love Bishop Pagiano in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So we will be doing a conference there April 12th, and it's a spiritual spa, Come to the Living Waters. And we have Maria Vargo coming and Kitty Cleveland and Teresa Peterson, who's another amazing singer. It is going to be absolutely spectacular. So that's Bridgeport, Connecticut. And then you're going to be with us July 26th in Baton Rouge. It should be a little bit warmer there than it is today, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really warm in Baton Rouge, let me tell you. Yeah.
But they keep their air conditioning pretty cold, so do come with layers. So July 26th will be in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. It'll be our fifth time in Baton Rouge with Bishop Duca. He's such a great support. And Dina Dow, who works in the office. They're just a fantastic, fantastic team. And then we'll be headed to Buffalo, New York, November 1st. So the first three are ready to sign up for. You can go to CatholicVineyard.com. All of them make for a great girls' weekend, I'm telling you. And it's just, it'll be spectacular. We got hotel rooms booked, you know, blocked out for ladies to come. And we always do an evening before. If you are traveling, or even if you're in town and you want to come to the evening before, that's our gathering in the vineyard. And that's where you get to know the speakers. It's a little bit more laid back. That one we do have wine at, even though wine stands for Women in the New Evangelization. And it really comes from John 2:5, Wedding at Cana, which we just had. I was so excited yesterday at Mass because we only get that reading once every 3 years.
Right.
So I was like, oh, this is fabulous. But it really is Mary's words to us in sacred scripture. Do whatever he tells you. So wine. So it's a fun, clever name. And like you said, it gets people interested. They ask questions and then you can evangelize. It truly is about doing the will of God. And so we just contend it. It's easier to do with your sisters in Christ. So thanks. We have a lot going on at CatholicVineyard.com.
Yeah.
Come check us out.
Yeah, you do. And what I love is that you could, if you wanted to, I mean, each conference has a different theme, so you could go to more than one if you wanted to, right?
Yeah, we Michelle Macias, from, you know, Michelle from California.
Right.
I don't think she's missed one. She follows us every. We love her. She is our just our wine enthusiast. She's great. So there are some, you know, and our wine team, that, you know, West Texas wine team by Donna Luna Hernandez, you know, they'll be up in Connecticut helping the wine team up there. And, you know, they just blend beautifully. It's like this, it's a good wine, you know, analogy. But these women, they just have the same heart of serving others. And when they come together, it's instant. Well, you know, that's all of a sudden instant friendship. You're like, oh, you know, this is this person. It's like she's been my friend my entire life.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
And we see that too on our pilgrimage.
Yes.
In Spain.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Let me reintroduce Kelly Walquist, who's the founder of Wine. If you're just tuning in, it's 20 minutes past the hour, almost 21 minutes past the hour, on a Monday morning, Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, and, of course, Inauguration Day. Big day for the United States of America, and a big week. We have the March for Life coming up on Friday, and lots of great coverage on EWTN all week long. And, again, the Wine website is, and Wine is an acronym, Women in the New Evangelization, CatholicVineyard.com. They have not one, not two, not three, but four conferences. The most recent, or the ones coming up most quickly, will be in February in Aberdeen, South Dakota, then in March in Minnesota, and then in April in Bridgeport, Connecticut, with Bishop Caggiano. So jelly. I love him. He's amazing. And then I'll be there for their anniversary event coming up in Baton Rouge. And hopefully our friend Father Josh will stop by. Father Josh Johnson, he was just on the cruise with us, and he sat at our table. He's just so much fun and such a wonderful priest. So, Kelly, this is awesome. And some of the conferences are based on some of the books that you've produced. For example, Walk in Her Sandals. I love that book.
I know. It is such a good book. You know, ladies, anyone really, but ladies, if you're looking to really get into Lent this year and just experience it like you never have. I mean, we've had that book out, I think, now 6 or 7 years. And every single year I hear just about lives changed and hearts transformed. I mean, women are like, I've never entered scripture like this before, because it's done so uniquely. You know, you enter the scripture, but then there's biblical fiction. Stephanie Lansom writes the biblical fiction, and you're in the story. You're right there. I mean, you're like looking at Veronica, although she's biblical. She, you know, is also kind of biblical fiction, or what we know of Veronica, but you're watching her. And as you're in that story, you've got tears going down your eyes as Jesus is passing by. I mean, it's just so good. And then there's teaching, obviously, and there, you know, the gifts of the feminine genius, and it's done in a small group setting. So you can again, support and encourage your sisters in Christ as we're walking closer to, you know, the passion, death, and resurrection. And we have, you know, all the materials for that, a study guide and journal that goes with it on CatholicVineyard.com. But yeah, you're right. We do have a lot that are named after these great books and titles that women have given us and have done. We've got a Called by Name. We have a, you're in that as well, the 365 Daily Devotional, and we have a Called by Name conference that we do. And so it's fun. It's great to see these women working in their gift and to be able to highlight them and to elevate them, and then to see how the gifts of others bring their sisters in Christ into a deeper relationship with the Lord.
So how do they register for these conferences, Kel? I would imagine that the diocese, especially, for example, I know that the Bridgeport Bishop, Bishop Caggiano, has really embraced wine, and so I'm sure they have links on their homepage to the conference. But how else can women find out about the February, March, and April conferences?
Yeah, so you know what? It's great when these dioceses do embrace it. The beautiful thing about wine is we have these conferences already done. They're
right.
Done. There's a lot of work that goes into a conference. And
right.
So if you want to bring a conference or, you know, to your diocese or archdiocese, we've got it. Or you want to bring a retreat to your parish, we got it. And we actually call it box wine. It's, you know, it's a retreat in a box. It's a conference in a box. But we've got
box
everything.
Wine. However, I will say that the packaged wine, they now have, you know, that we used to say that a bottle of wine that you had to open without an opener, like, remember the twist top was like, that was
yeah.
The bad stuff, but not anymore. I mean, they've got really some high-end wines that open up, you know, automatically just by twisting
yeah.
It, and then you've got the box wine, too. I love that. That's so cute.
Yeah, especially if you're stuck in a hotel room without a wine opener. Good thing.
Heaven forbid.
No,
oh,
but yes,
goodness.
So you can go to CatholicVineyard.com, and it's under our events calendar. Just click on the events calendar, and it'll bring you to our all the registration. But like you said, it's also on the home pages of all the dioceses that are supporting us, and the parish. You know, we're at a parish in Aberdeen. But the easiest thing is CatholicVineyards.com. And then you can see, you know, come be part of Wine. I mean, we're a little tiny nonprofit that, by the grace of God and the generosity of men and women all around the country, we are continuing to grow. And it really just is generosity. You know, we're a little nonprofit that we're just run by our membership and the people who donate. And it's just, it's been a blessing to watch.
Yeah. Well, what I love is the laughter. I mean, it's just, there's so much laughter and joy. And I love the word joy, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. The other thing that's beautiful about Wine is even if, let's say, the diocese is not working with you to put on the conference, you're welcomed and approved by at the diocesan level. I know you always check this out before you go in with the local bishop. So this is all Orthodox. Just let you know that it's a very Orthodox ministry. Wine, Women in the New Evangelization. More with Kelly Walquist. We'll talk Italy up next on a Monday morning. Stay tuned.
Sixty on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. This commandment is wide-ranging in its implications. It forbids us not only from committing the very act of adultery, but also other sexual sins such as fornication or premarital sex, watching pornography, and speaking lewdly. Likewise, homosexual acts and acts of masturbation are also forbidden us. And the Lord himself even enjoins us to a purity of mind that we should not freely entertain lustful thoughts. And so it's wide-ranging, it's challenging, but it's in service of the great sacredness of human life, which comes from sexual activity. So we thank God for this great gift of sexuality, and we ask for his grace to live it with great reverence. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
When I've had enough. I ask parents, when do you decide to discipline? One of the most common answers is, when I've had enough. If discipline is designed to teach, then we need to discipline before we've had enough. We need to discipline because the behavior's wrong, not because emotionally it's pushed us to our edge. Besides, when you get to when you've had enough, you're much more likely to yell and scream and say things that you have to go to confession for. So, the suggestion is discipline out of principle, not emotion. Principle means because it needs discipline, and I'm going to do it when I'm calm. Emotion means I'm going to be moved to do it just because I'm mad.
Catch up with my friend Kelly Walquist from the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in Minnesota, where it's minus 12. Michigan, we're laughing. Michigan, Minnesota, very similar in the weather. I think it's minus 12 in Minnesota and then 4 degrees in Michigan. But the sun's shining in both places. So, hey, it's a good day. God is good all the time. And we're talking now pilgrimage with Wine, and we call them Wine and Shrine pilgrimages, of course. Again, if you're just joining us, Wine is a women's ministry, Women in the New Evangelization. You can find out all about their great events and their newsletter and all kinds of wonderful stuff at CatholicVineyard.com, including our next pilgrimage, which is coming up in early October, Wine and Shrine in Italy. And Cal, I love the fact that you just let me go to it and have at it and planning the itinerary. So this one is really... Wow, talk about a combination of different areas of Italy, right?
That's what I love about Wine and Shrine. I love that it's so unique, and it's your gift. I mean, obviously, you're so good at this. But we go to places that are so different than the average. I mean, we of course, are going to be in Rome and go through the Holy Doors. It's the Jubilee year. And I was just thinking, T, you know, here we are on Wine's 10th anniversary, and our first pilgrimage we went through was the Holy Year of Mercy. And remember, we walked through the Holy Doors then? So I'm like, oh, this is cool. Now we're kind of bookending it again where we get to walk through these holy doors. But I absolutely love the places we go. And I'm always surprised by the reaction of the women. You know, when we're at some place that's kind of off the beaten path, T, to, you know, the average tourist, and they're just like, whoa, you know, just marvel at the beauty or the splendor or even the stories of the saints that we find there, because that's really what we are doing. We're kind of walking in the footsteps of the saints. We're going to make friends with these saints. And I was thinking about this morning in prayer, just that this pilgrimage of hope, this year of hope, this Jubilee year. And I thought, what gives us hope like the saints? I mean, these people, look what they've lived through. I'm doing a lot with St. Joan of Arc right now, reading a lot on her. And I'm like, wow. I mean, to see what they've gone through, I know Catherine of Siena, and to see them come out and live the good life and finish that race, and you think, that's hopeful. There is hope in right. there for me. Really, yep. There is hope in there for me. So when we go and we walk in their footsteps as we're on this wine and trine pilgrimage this October 1st through the 9th through Italy, I really want to embrace that, the hope. Just the hope that we get from all these saints. Even I thought, we'll put together something which each day we have maybe a quote from one of the saints to just reflect upon that is just hopeful. Because they lead the way. They're like little stars that kind of lead the way for us, that kind of brighten the path. And it's like, oh, we can do this. Even in our struggles, we can do this.
And that's why I love having so much time to spend in Italy, because we're so close to different saints and we can just jump in the car and be at the tomb of St. Francis or St. Clare or St. Carlo Acutis or Blessed Jacopani and Todi. There's so many. But in this trip, is going to be a little bit different because we're heading north. We're starting in Rome. So we leave on the 1st of October, and then we are in Rome, and then we are going to be having Mass at St. Paul Outside the Walls on our first night, and then go to the hotel to freshen up and relax a bit, and then have full day in Rome the following day. Just want to go over the itinerary. And we have Mass at St. Peter's, walking through the Holy Doors, and we're going to have some leisure time before an exclusive private Sistine Tour chapel, pending availability, but we're very close to nabbing that. A group dinner, and then overnight in Rome. And then, of course, we're going to be going through the Holy Doors and have that experience. And then we head up to Florence, and we'll be able to see everything in Florence. And Florence is just fabulous, the Renaissance city. And then I am so excited to take you to this part of Italy, Cal, which you've never been. We are going to Lake Garda, and we're staying in the town known as Di Cinzano, which is in the southern part of Lake Garda. And I talk about this a lot in my new book, Italy Shrines and Wonders. That area of Lake Garda, well, the whole lake is gorgeous, the whole lake district, whether it's Garda, Cuomo, Maggiore, Orta, all those lakes are fabulous. But we are going to do some really fun things. We're going to do have some fun in addition to write the serious stuff about our faith. We're going to have a balsamic tasting in Bondada after we go to Garda and going to Di Cinzano. So Di Cinzano is this beautiful town on the water. And then we're going to go up to this shrine, which is on the cover of my book. It is crazy. When I say crazy gorgeous, Madonna in Della Corona. Crazy, way up in the mountains, built into the side of a mountain. Incredible. And then we're going to go to Sirmione and see the castle there and the drawbridge. And then we're going to go to Padua, right, for St. Anthony. And then we're going to go to Venezia. We'll be staying in a beautiful place in Mestre, close to the actual city. And then we'll be touring Venice, which you had a taste of last year. We had a lot of fun in Venice. So I took you kind of to give you an idea of Venice. And then departing Italy from Venezia. So I was really grateful that you let me put this together, because I wanted it to be something different while at the same time allowing the women to see some of the basic important stuff, especially the Jubilee year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what I think is so beautiful about it is that it's so unique and so different. And I keep telling the ladies that when I'm thinking about this opportunity to go on this amazing pilgrimage, I'm like, this is the pilgrimage of a lifetime. And I guess every pilgrimage is a pilgrimage of a lifetime, but this really, really is, not only because of the Holy Year, which is amazing to be going through these holy doors and to be part of the bigger church as we're there, but because of the different places we're going to, and because some of them are so unique that I think these women are going to have even more of a radical relational experience with one another and with where we're going. You know, it is in that, sometimes in that quietness. I know before when we go to Assisi, or where if we're just kind of off the beaten path and it's not just so crazy, there's just that time we can just sit and take in all the beauty that surrounds us. And God reaches us by beauty. I mean, there's no doubt. We experience it all the time in Italy. We can experience it walking into our beautiful cathedrals or on a nature walk. But he really draws us in. And there's something so unique, and we have said it so many times about wine and shrine, this women's pilgrimage through Italy. It's so unique in that these women truly bond. There is a beautiful healing. I mean, a pilgrimage is going to, it's calling us home, right? We're going to go and and be part of everything so we can get closer to the Lord. And we're all wounded. There's all wounds in each and every one of us. And this is a time to stop that, set aside, and really focus on your relationship with the Lord. And maybe sometimes you need those wounds to be a little healed before you go on. And we have seen it time and time again where these women just embrace one another. And it within 6 hours. And then we're together for 9 days. And you've got these relationships that have formed that are so strong and have continued now for 10 years and are still good friends. And it's a beauty of wine. Kitty Cleveland said it best. You know, she said one time after her first conference, she said, wine has the charism of unity. And it really does. Everyone is so beautifully unified. There's no competition. There's complementarity. You want to elevate your sisters and their beautiful gifts. But then you just said this too, and it's our other charism, and that is joy. Because, ladies, we have so much joy on these pilgrimages. I mean, we laugh. I remember the first time Father Klockman, he was probably in the bus with us for, 15 minutes? And the two of us started laughing about something and couldn't breathe. And our poor spiritual director was like, oh, is this what it's going to be
you
like?
You two are just too much. Yeah. Well, we only have about a minute left, so I want to let people know we can go to either CatholicVineyard.com or TeresaTomeo.com. We both have it on our events section. You can also, of course, check with our partners at Corporate Travel. This is coming up, the Wine and Shrine Women's Pilgrimage to Italy, October 1st to the 9th. And, Kel, we still have a sale in effect, right? A discount?
We do. Up to, for 4 more days, for sure, for $250 off. And I would really encourage women to sign up now because it's selling out. And we will only do one bus because we are relational.
Yes, and keep it very, 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 very intense and intimate. Kel, thanks so much. Happy New Year, my dear, and look forward to catching up with you soon. And I hope you sell out at all your conferences. And don't forget, folks, we have this beautiful Women's Pilgrimage coming up October 1st through the 9th in Bella Italia. CatholicVineyard.com and also TeresaTomeo.com and CTSCentral.net. We'll be right back.
Can a priest ever reveal what he has heard in confession? No, he cannot, the Catechism firmly states. Due to the delicacy and greatness of this ministry and the respect due to persons, the Church declares that the priest must keep all he hears under the seal of the sacrament. Under no circumstances may he disclose what he has heard in confession. Were he to do so, he would face severe Church penalties. When he is celebrating the sacrament of penance, the priest is fulfilling the ministry of the Good Shepherd seeking the lost sheep, the Good Samaritan who binds up the wounds, the merciful Father who welcomes home the prodigal son, and the impartial judge whose judgment is just and merciful. The confessor is the servant, not the master of God's forgiveness, leading the penitent to maturity and healing. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Make family life the most important activity on your calendar. Parents often worry about losing their kids' hearts to peers, to the culture, or to the media. But simply restricting your kids' access to friends, culture, or media isn't the answer. Spending more time with them is. Kids give their hearts to the people and things they spend the most time with. If we're not making daily family time the most important activity on our schedule, we're effectively giving our kids permission to give their hearts to someone other than us. Putting family time first and scheduling other activities around it is one of the most important practices Catholic families can have. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back. It is a Monday morning, Inauguration Day, Martin Luther King holiday today. Hope you're doing well. Busy, busy Monday for us here at Catholic Connection and EWTN. And speaking of EWTN, joined by Dr. Matthew Bunsen, VP and Editorial Director of EWTN News. Okay, I don't know where we begin, Matthew, because there's so much to talk about, but let me get your thoughts, first of all, because in a couple of hours, we will be seeing the swearing-in of a new president, the 47th President, Donald J. Trump. Well, your thoughts on this new administration and what it means for Catholics. How will we be able to work with him, do you think? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, good morning. It's great to be with you. Yeah, in fact, the National Catholic Register, we posted an editorial on this very topic under the title of A Time for Hope. And the point that we're trying to make is that Trump has a plan for the United States. And not only do we wish any administration success, but there are a number of key areas that Trump has clearly targeted that could prove to be beneficial for the country, but also that we're paying close attention to from a Catholic standpoint. And unfortunately, the outgoing president, Joe Biden, his record politically is one thing, which has been problematic, certainly for the Democrats in terms of getting reelected. But from a Catholic standpoint, the Biden administration was markedly challenging on a host of areas, from abortion to gender ideology to persecution or targeting, it would seem, of Catholics, Catholic groups, pro-life groups. So there's a lot of ground that President Trump can fill, a lot of policies that he can introduce. I think that from a Catholic standpoint would be very welcome. But we're also very clear in recognizing that there may be areas of disagreement. Certainly the U.S. bishops have expressed a lot of concern about some of his potential plans, at least for, quote, mass deportation on the immigration side.
Well, I'm looking at the article, which is the editorial piece, which is excellent. Biden's record was even worse when it comes to issues of special concern to Catholics. Throughout his tenure and even the last days of his presidency, he prioritized abortion rights at every conceivable opportunity to an extent that can only be described as astonishing for a man who continually proclaims his abiding attachment to his Catholic faith. That, I think, is one of the most important points to make on this outgoing president and his administration.
Very much so. And in fact, just a few days ago, the White House issued an open letter it's very long, detailing what they purport to be the many accomplishments of the Biden administration. And one area that was focused on very strongly was abortion, of course, what they always call reproductive rights and that sort of thing. So it was a testament of sorts in the way that they were so aggressive, and they celebrated the fact that they were so aggressive. And when you scroll through the bullet points, they talk about unprecedented executive action to protect access to reproductive health care. It goes on to talk about safe and legal medication, which, of course, what they're actually talking about is mail-order abortions that have been called seriously into question in terms of their health and safety of the women who are taking it. They talked about defending approval of medication abortion through the FDA and the Department of Justice. They used the FACE Act. They partnered with state leaders on the front lines, they say, for abortion access. I mean, this goes on and on in terms of their efforts to, quote, strengthen reproductive health privacy and access. So this was a absolute victory lap from the Biden administration certainly on the abortion front. And that was in many ways matched by the aggression that they showed from a policy standpoint on things like gender ideology and the execution of Title IX.
And gender ideology and including men and women's sports and female school bathrooms, that whole issue. If you're just joining us on Catholic Connection on a Monday morning, Inauguration Day, a Martin Luther King federal holiday, recognizing the great work of the civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., we are talking with Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN News, of course. And, you know, Matthew, the frustration from those of us in the media, especially the Catholic media, is that many people don't hear about these extremes unless they're following us or another outlet that really gives you the whole story, especially because, obviously, we're coming at this from a truly Catholic perspective. But if you think of extremes that you just outlined on abortion, gender ideology has been over the top with the Biden administration, even ignoring such new evidence and major turnarounds in European countries that were going full force with gender ideology and now have really toned it down, if not canceled, so many different efforts they were involved in.
Well, that's right. So there has been a concerted effort over these 4 years to really advance that entire agenda, despite it, as you say, it absolutely correctly, that the science just isn't there. Europe itself has backed away in so many different ways, even down to the very, very progressive and politically radical Labour Party in England seems to recognize that this, A, isn't a winning issue, but B, this the long-term health and safety of especially minors who are receiving this treatment and these surgeries and life-changing treatments. So there's that. Now, one thing that we should start paying close attention to is the president, apparently, president-elect, is going to be issuing within hours of his being sworn in, and now we're just about 2 hours away from that actually happening, a series of executive orders. I've heard anywhere from 100 to 200 different executive orders on day one. And one of those apparently is going to be related specifically to starting the rollback on many of the Biden administration's aggressive policies in the area of gender ideology. So we'll be paying close attention to that. I think we can see, anticipate at least the restoration of the Mexico City's policy of taxpayer funding for abortions overseas and a whole list of other areas I think will be of great interest to the pro-life movement, but also to concerned Catholics.
Yeah, and it's super important that people understand what happened with the previous administration and also what we can expect with the new administration. I mean, Trump certainly isn't perfect in the area of pro-life issues, but he certainly is more open to discussing them with pro-life leaders. And also, he really supports a person's right to speak up, religious freedom, and, of course, the FACE Act. And hopefully he's going to be pardoning some of these pro-lifers who were jailed for long periods of time or still behind bars, including an elderly grandmother, for sit-ins, which you and I know are old enough to remember some of the sit-ins, right? Well, maybe not old enough to remember some of the sit-ins. Let's give ourselves a little bit of credit. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, that's a common way to express oneself, peaceful sit-ins, whether it's in college or whether it was in the civil rights movement back in the 60s or during the Vietnam conflict. And now you have people with, you know, being sentenced in some cases up to 6 years for a peaceful sit-in. And so hopefully that will be turned around with the Trump administration. The other issue I want to get to before we have to wrap up, only have about 4 minutes before we have to bring on Gail Buckley to wrap us up with our scripture verse of the week. The issue of immigration. I think Americans are pretty fair. Most of us realize that all of us, with the exception, of course, of Native Americans, are people who come from other countries. Our heritage is from other countries. And so it's not we're against immigration. I mean, my grandparents came on both sides of the family, came here legally through Ellis Island, all four of my grandparents. But it's gotten to the point where... Yeah, exactly. And the catechism is very clear. We welcome the immigrant. We help them. But not to the point where it's wreaking havoc across the country. The catechism is clear that we should support them, but that they have a responsibility as well, and that a country can protect herself. And that's not what's happened in the last 4 years with this issue of immigration.
Well, that's right. And Pope Francis criticized President-elect Trump pretty sharply in an interview that was on Italian television over the weekend. In fact, he went so far as to describe the idea of this so-called mass deportations as a disgrace. Now, you're also absolutely correct that Catholic social teaching is very clear about what we can and cannot do. And one of those aspects is the right to defend and protect borders and to regulate immigration. Now, everyone would agree it became a very key element in the 2024 presidential election, the issue of immigration. The system itself seems to be broken, and there is, I think, a recognition, a bipartisan one, that some sort of a meaningful solution at this point has to be reached. The 11.7, 12 million, perhaps more, undocumented or so-called illegal immigrants in the U.S. is a simple reality that we have to confront. And it's a multi-pronged process, as Trump himself has said, but also as a number of Democrats are saying now, that we have to have a much more secure border. And we also do have to come to grips with the fact that we saw a massive spike in undocumented immigrants coming into the country over the last 4 years under the Biden administration. So one thing that we are likely to see immediately are efforts to ground up and to deport criminal undocumented or illegal immigrants. But then we're probably going to settle into something that is actually more akin to the Obama years, in which the Immigration Service was very active, very determined, and you saw quite a few deportations at that stage. So history is always important to remember here. But as the U.S. bishops also say, we have to be very attentive to human dignity, that sure. whatever processes we have also have to be respectful of the dignity of the human person. So the U.S. bishops are going to be watching this very closely as to how such a policy is executed, and I'm sure we're going to be hearing from them over the next months and years.
Sure. Well, I think as they should, and as we all should be concerned about the dignity of each human person. But again, there has to be a balance. It can't be all one way or the other. And that's what I'm hoping will happen. And we shall see with the upcoming administration. Matthew, also always great to have you on the program. Hope we bump into you this week at the March for Life. And looking forward to the great coverage. Honored to be the field reporter again. Dr. Matthew Bunton, VP and editorial director of EWTN News, talking about the new administration. We'll have to have you back on to talk about the new leadership down in Texas. We'll do that another day. Matthew, Happy New Year. Thanks so much for joining us.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John, chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets, all the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country, the land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Wrapping up a Monday, this Inauguration Day, with Gail Buckley-Barringer of Catholic Scripture Study International. Gail, you have an interesting approach to our scripture discussion this morning, so have at it, sister.
Okay. All right. Well, instead of focusing on one particular verse today, I just want to talk about, you know, the several instances where God uses unworthy or unlikely individuals to accomplish his will. And so I wanted to talk about that today. You know, this theme is prevalent throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, illustrating God's power and his ability to work through imperfect people. And the reason I want to talk about that today is because, as we all know, today is Inauguration Day for Donald J. Trump, our 47th president. And there are many people who think he's unworthy to hold this office, you know, citing that he's a convicted felon and accusing him of, you know, many other things. But he's certainly not perfect, but who is? And so I wanted to give some other examples, like look at King David. You know, despite David's significant sin of adultery with Bathsheba and his subsequent murder of her husband, God had a plan for David, and he saw potential in, you know, growth in David. And, you know, David also desired to please God, even though he failed many times. But that's one example. Another one is Moses. You know, Moses murdered an Egyptian. He buried him in the sand, and then he fled Egypt. But God chose him to lead his people. And then there's, we find in the book of Ezra, where King Cyrus of Persia is mentioned. You know, despite being a pagan king, God stirred his heart to issue a decree allowing the Israelites to return to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple. And this is in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, by the way. And this act, you know, it fulfilled a prophecy by given by Isaiah that demonstrates that God can use even those who do not follow him to fulfill his, divine purpose. Another example is Balaam. Balaam was a prophet from a non-Israelite nation. He was hired by a pagan king, an evil pagan king, to curse the Israelites. But instead, God intervened, and he was forced to bless them. You know, if anyone's listening has not read this story, I think you should really read it. It also talks about an angel and a talking donkey. It's really interesting, and that's found in the book of Numbers, chapter 22 to 24. And then we look at the disciples. You know, Jesus chose 12 disciples with various backgrounds and many who were considered unworthy or unlikely candidates for leadership. You know, for instance, Peter, he was a fisherman and he denied Jesus 3 times, yet Jesus founded his church on him in Matthew 16:18. And then there's the Apostle Paul, another, powerful example of God using an unworthy person. His purposes, for his purposes, initially he was known as Saul of Tarsus. He persecuted Christians. He even imprisoned them and had them killed. But yet, he ended up being the most powerful apostle and evangelist, creating Christianity throughout the whole Roman Empire.
And Gail, we're out of time, but that is a great point that you're bringing up. I wish we had more time to do this, but to remember that we don't live in a perfect world, but God can use all kinds of imperfect people to accomplish his will. Gail, thanks so much. Gail Buckley-Barringer, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on Catholic Connection. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.